Football Sack.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whichever it is. Welcome to the Football Sack podcast, The Sack on Sunday. My name is Matt Greenlaw. I'm the editor of thefootballsack.com. With me in the studio is Michael Rochek.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to be talking about football instead of football administration for a little bit of time, although we will talk about football administration.
Very much. And also, across the studio from me on the decks is Mr. Supernova. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. If you are listening any point during the day, hopefully you're having an awesome day.
We found you a microphone, because I don't think we had one for you last week.
No, we didn't. Things have improved in our studio, and we have a mic now.
That's great. Look, we've got plenty to talk about this week. Obviously, we'll go through all the games, but also the Gold Coast situation. Supernova has coined the term...
It's Parmageddon.
Parmageddon. I love it. I like that. Not chicken Parmageddon.
But he did go home and have a Parmigiano.
Allegedly. We've got a competition. That's the final week of the competition. We'll give away a prize, the final prize. Plenty of stuff to talk about.
Just loads of A-League stuff. Loads of A-League.
Yeah. Footy Fans Down Under Awards.
How you can vote for us. Save a kitten's life.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit about what's on the website as well. Let's get right into it, because Gold Coast United, there's plenty of stuff happening up there, and we thought we'd better discuss it in length.
And in detail, and to figure out exactly how it got to this, perhaps we need to look at all the chronology, the sequence of events that led to this cluster of crazy, crazy goings on. Let's go back to the start.
In the criminal justice system, FFA are being sued for lawful termination. Clive Palmer's comments have been considered especially heinous. Gold Coast United players, officials and fans have lost their team. These are their stories.
Rochek, can you take us through a bit of what's happening up there in the Gold Coast?
Well, Clive Palmer appointed a 17-year-old Mitch Cooper as Gold Coast United's captain. An odd decision, wouldn't you say?
I would. It's his debut.
And a lot's been made of the fact that it was his debut, and a lot, I don't think anyone's debuted and been captain, although Jacob Pepper scored 2 goals yesterday on debut, but he wasn't the captain of Newcastle Jets. Miron Blyberg criticised it as the coach. That was a very, very odd thing to see, and he actually said that it would be a ceremonial appointment and that Christian Rees would be making the big calls.
If I was a certain Australian Idol winner, I would have called it his debut.
Who said that?
Jessica Mowboy.
Oh, Jessica Mowboy.
Get out of the studio. Yeah. Approach the Australian Idol. Get
pop
out.
Pop culture.
It's what the kids want.
Yeah.
I think we need to edit that part out. Jessica Mowboy with her debut in the Football Sack podcast. Mm-hmm. So Miron Blyberg was then suspended by Clive Palmer. Again, an unprecedented move. Something that the football community saw and went, huh? And then Miron came out and said in the media, well, I actually resign. Clive Palmer said to that, well, no, you haven't told us that, so we're going to sack you. Right there, right now, we've sacked you.
Allegedly via text message, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've heard that too. I think it was on Fox Sports FC that Miron Blyberg came out and said, yep, he sacked me by text message.
How's that? How's the form of that?
I know.
Currently breaking up with the girlfriend via text message.
You are? Right now.
Right now.
On air. Oh, well, let us know how that goes a bit later on during the show.
Give us an update, a blow-by-blow description of how it goes.
No worries. Anytime. The Football Sack, bringing you straight to you.
Oh, well, hopefully that goes a bit better than the Gold Coast United situation. Yeah. What happened next, Rochek?
Well, there was an article in which Clive Palmer criticised the A-League game as being a joke and that rugby league was a better game.
Lies.
He came out and said that his comments were taken out of context, and what he was really referring to when he said the word game was the administration of the game.
Still a big call.
And very hard to see how he got from saying the game is a joke to the administration is a joke. Something that I think a lot of people had a lot of problems with.
Admittedly, the word game is quite loose. You can take a lot of terms from this game. You could look at a number of definitions.
Game of life?
Yeah, it could be the game of life.
The game of relationships that you're playing right now on air?
Exactly. It could be. So if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, maybe it says under game. It could refer to administration as well. Who knows? Clive Palmer could be looking at a dictionary.
And if you've seen that in the Oxford English Dictionary, please tweet us at some point in the next week. I think we'd like to see that, because how his comments could be taken out of context is really quite bizarre in that situation. I think that what occurred beyond that was actually more bizarre.
And what did occur next, Rochek?
Ben Buckley and FFA condemned his statements, saying that he brought the game into disrepute. Frank Lowy came out and said, in relation to how the Gold Coast was being run, that it was a joke, that the game had actually gone worse and that it was a spectacular failure in the Gold Coast. And after those comments were said, well, the writing was really on the wall. Thereafter, Clive Palmer actually put freedom of speech on his jerseys.
He did actually put the writing on the wall, didn't he? He put freedom of speech on the logo on the club strip and also around the stadium. And FFA hadn't sanctioned that, which they're supposed to do for all branding. And so therefore, they had said to Gold Coast United that they couldn't do it, but United did it anyway. And Palmer went against the CPA, which is the club participation agreement, which they have signed to have an A-League license.
It's leaning towards, at the moment, joke after joke, with Lowy saying that the club's a joke and Palmer saying that the FFA is a joke, and there's just too many jokes going around.
Plenty of jokes.
Too many jokes.
Well, now, it's a laugh out loud moment.
Next thing we're going to be finding out who came first, the chicken, the egg, who crossed the road first and all this. We don't care.
Did Bresciana have the chicken before the egg? Who knows?
Exactly.
Look, plenty of stuff happening. From that, Lowy called, yes, as you said, Rochek, Gold Coast United, a spectacular failure, and then a couple days later, FFA terminated Clive Palmer's A-League license. Palmer has now, apart from setting up his own independent body, Football Australia, I apologise, he is suing FFA for kind of damages and also for unlawful termination.
My biggest question here is, can he actually use the name Football Australia? Because if you look at the website for FFA, it is footballaustralia.com.au.
Interesting.
Can you legally use that name? We cross to our legal advisor right now, Mr. Mikey Roshek. Update on that situation. What are your thoughts?
Here's the thing. How somebody can call something Football Australia and not have had Football Federation Australia register that name too. Generally, when you register a name, you register every single variation of a name that, you know, you could possibly come up with, even in the, you know, in terms of speech. You cannot just go ahead and say Football Australia and have that possible. I think someone at the FFA needs to put up their hand and say, we really dropped that ball.
Well, did you know that Clive Palmer has a 68-0 record in terms of the law? So he probably has looked into it a little bit.
Well, he was able to do it. He was able to do it, and he did it.
And could I've be a 68-1 soon
to
come.
It could be. And I've also received word that Andy Jackson from 442 has also registered 44 and 42, just in case 442 get any problems.
Well, that's how you register names. That's what you do. It's like if we registered the Football Sack, we'd also call it Footballs and Sacks and any plural, or, you know, anything that someone could come up with.
Yeah, we should really get on that. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to register footballsack.com. We had to register thefootballsack.com because Football Sack, as we've mentioned previously, is a term over in America, sacking the football. Currently, we don't have footballsack.com.au. We should get that. We should get on that very soon.
That's right.
And I'm sure there are a few listeners going, oh, I might have that. There's an opportunity there to get some money off the Football Sack. Guys, we don't have any money. Please do not register thefootballsack.com.au. And if you do, just give it to us anyway. Don't ask for thousands of dollars. That about wraps up what is happening so far in the Gold Coast up in Queensland. Plenty of stuff to be talking about. And
update on the text line situation. It says, it's not me, it's you.
That's, wow, you're in the criminal justice system soon, I think.
Apparently,
mate. Definitely in the bad books there with Supernova's relationship. As the Gold Coast are, Rochek, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen from here? Well, I think Clive Palmer's lost his battle to injunct the FFA and to overturn the decision to revoke his license. I don't think that Clive Palmer will run a football club again as long as Frank Lowy's in charge. There will be a big court case. The court case will go on and on and on. In the meantime, Frank Lowy said that he wants to start a Western Sydney A-League club and start it next season. Frank's trying to get on with the business of running the game. I don't think that's the best way to go about it. These are two big, big heavy hitters going blow for blow, and I just don't think the game will prosper as a result.
Football Federation Australia went into this with, apparently, as they said, solid legal advice or a rock-solid case that they will win this battle against Gold Coast United. In terms of the Western Sydney bid, I do not want that coming in this season, this next season.
It's not ready.
It's not ready at all.
We've heard nothing about it.
I wrote an article over a year ago now saying, where is Sydney Rovers? It collapsed.
There's nothing.
And
Lowy
was very,
as well.
Yeah, he was disappointed and promises were broken, but they're not ready. Western Sydney needs to take at least one more year. So come in
in 2014.
Yeah.
Mm. Building a club doesn't take 2 to 3 months. It takes 2 to 3 years. Yeah. And that's what they should be doing. But looking at that case for just a few more moments between Clive Palmer and the FFA, there was a guy in the courtroom tweeting the entire event.
Mm.
His name, we don't want to give it away, but we'll say T. Schaefer. Maybe no, that's actually too much of a giveaway. Tom S. Tom S.
Congrats to you, name. Tom S.
Thank you very much, Tom S.
So what did Tom Schaefer have to say?
His name's not Tom Schaefer, it's Tom S. Or T. Schaefer, whatever you would prefer.
He was basically tweeting the whole updates, blow by blows, as we've done, but he was doing it from the courtroom. So thank you to you, Twitter, again, proving that the football community is quite close, and we thank everyone for that. If you'd like to tell us some information, at us, at the Football Sack, let us know.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Just on that, all the clubs have recently come out with media statements, and we get all the media releases from every club, and every, or practically every club has come out with a media release saying that they condemn Palmer's statements. So it leads me to believe that there's some sort of directive there from the FFA to put out a media release, or perhaps everyone's just on the same page that Palmer's statements are wrong.
Just really, really quickly on that, I think that by them saying that, I think it's quite unlikely that anyone's going to follow Clive Palmer down the Football Australia path.
Archie Fraser is.
Yeah, but Archie Fraser has a big axe to grind, and probably rightly so, but I don't see any other clubs sort of getting on board. Maybe the club ownership will decide that perhaps, you know, we need a representative voice, but I don't think Football Australia is the vehicle.
Mikey Rochek, you had a hard night's sleep last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And why was that?
I did because the Mardi Gras was at the end of my street. I've just moved into a new place, and it was probably the noisiest night's sleep I've ever had in my life.
You live, coincidentally, on College Street, which is where the FFA is set up.
I was trying to do this surreptitiously and move in slowly and take over, but
you're slowly making your way to number one College Street?
I have seen Ben Buckley on occasion standing and waiting to cross the road with a coffee.
What type of coffee? Is it a latte? Is it short black? Is it long black? Do you have the information here?
I don't know, because it's in a takeaway cup. There's nothing written on the top. I'll try to get a picture of it.
Okay, cool. Really good. That is really hard-hitting news right here at the Football Sack. What type of coffee does Ben Buckley drink?
And how can we sabotage it? No.
And how can we sabotage it? You're going to say? No, we won't do that here at the Football Sack. We love Ben Buckley, don't we?
Yes.
Sure. As long as he replies to my Christmas card that I sent him.
3 years ago.
Look, you were at Mardi Gras. Oh, you weren't at Mardi Gras. You just happened to be there.
Tried to sleep alongside the parade.
Yeah. There was someone else who was at Mardi Gras, and that's a friend of the Football Sack, Brett Stubman, and he's a player for Sydney Olympic. A few players from Sydney Olympic were representing their club on the Sydney Rangers float.
And isn't that great? I really, really trust that there's an opportunity for football to grow everywhere, at any major event, and I think it's excellent that football can stand shoulder to shoulder with Sydney's gay and lesbian community. I think it's fantastic.
It got Olympic a bit of press as well. They were in the Sydney Morning Herald for that. I think Sydney FC were invited, but obviously there was a game up at the Central Coast Mariners that they were playing. Good on Olympic for stepping in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great idea, and it's a great way of getting some press in some different ways. Excellent for Sydney Olympic, given that the week that's gone on and Frank's push to start an A-League club in Western Sydney, I think you could look no further and no better as an option than Sydney Olympic.
You keep pushing this agenda.
I
you do as well, Pete
in it.
Novikovsky. Sydney Olympic is not in Western Sydney. It's not representative.
Correct.
And being host, I'm going to put my foot down here.
I live on College Street. For me, that's Western Sydney.
Yeah. Sydney Olympic are not in Western Sydney. It's criminal.
These are their stories.
So Mardi Gras was on last night, and obviously Sydney FC couldn't attend because they were up in Gosford playing out a 1-1 draw with the Central Coast Mariners. They were going to be winning that match up until the last couple minutes in which Mariners scored an equaliser.
And it really took the wind out of Sydney FC's sails yet again, especially after a 1-0 loss to Wellington last week, to have a 1-0 win all but sewn up in the bag against the team that most people fancy as the A-League winners this year, only to lose it like that. It really gives credence to Mark Rudin's comments midweek about Sydney having lost their spine.
And had they won that game, they would have been within 1 point of
sixth and fifth positions on 34 points. So,
yeah,
that would have been nice.
It would have been nice. And it was 2 points lost and then 3 points lost the week before, Pete.
Well, putting on my sky blue goggles for a second, I will say it was massively disappointing, the fact that Sydney FC was so close to getting that win. But taking them off and looking at a neutral perspective, Central Coast, they push right to that final whistle, and every single match they keep fighting. They never give up until that end. Matt Ryan, phenomenal game again. He has to be one of the best keepers in the A-League, if not better than Eugene Galekovic.
Well, that's right, and he, let's not forget, he's about 5'5". I saw him at a Sydney Olympic game last year lining up for tickets, and I thought, gee, I know that bloke. He looks like a little boy, but I don't know who that is. And it wasn't until I got into the ground and went, that's Australia's most interesting up-and-coming keeper in the A-League, at least, taking over the mantle from Mitch Langerak, who's been playing second fiddle at a massive Bundesliga club, Borussia Dortmund. But Matt Ryan, he's an incredible, incredible talent. And really, the Central Coast, they don't want to be bridesmaids again this year. They don't want to lose in the grand final again.
Matt Ryan didn't get to play in the Socceroos game, but he was in the squad. He was on the bench. Isn't that fantastic that he was second choice for that game?
And it really is a reward for his ability to play out of his skin week in, week out, and really bang down the door. And for a young boy like him to be sitting on the bench for the Socceroos in a big game against Saudi Arabia down in Melbourne, I just think that's excellent. I think it really speaks volumes for Holger Ozic and his ability and foresight as a coach in Australia. And I think that Australian football has a lot to look forward to, or as always, in the goalkeeping stocks.
Melbourne Victory lost again, 3-1 against Newcastle Jets.
We're so disappointed to hear that, aren't we? I mean, really, Melbourne Victory losing.
Awful.
It's just so sad. And
poor
really,
Victory.
Yeah, look, it brings a tear to my eye. Jim Magilton really not looking the goods at Melbourne. Probably needs another season to show that he's still not going to be the goods. But, 3-1 loss. It's a big loss.
Do you think he needs another season? Don't you think Victory will find a new permanent coach for
option
the next year?
Yeah, look, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know what his contract is, whether it's to the end of the season.
It's to the end of the year. End of the season.
So he's really got to prove himself. Mm-hmm. If Melbourne don't make the finals, Melbourne Victory, that is, it's a failure for them. It really is a failure for them. And a club as big as they are, for them not to make the finals is a big hit for the A-League as well.
Yeah, I can't see him being coach next season because they won't make the finals. It's pretty much a certainty.
Yeah.
They're about 9 points out from sixth spot, so
yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Sydney FC will barely make it. They're 3 points out.
Yeah, and they've got to win the next three games to be certain of it and to have a reasonably easy run. But let's take nothing away from Newcastle, who slammed them. I mean, they really did beat them and beat them soundly. And Jacob Pepper on debut, 2 goals. I don't think there's been a better debut, except if you think about Mitch Cooper as being captain. But yeah, just a great, great result for Newcastle. And Gary Van Egmond has a lot of skill and talent in the Hunter, and he will be a very, very hard guy to get around come A-League final series.
Harry Kewell, he got one penalty, then missed another one.
He really, really, really leathered that penalty past Ben Kennedy. Ben Kennedy dived left, guessed the correct way. It went under him, and I think he was grateful for that fact. If it hit him in the stomach, I was saying this on Beyond the 90, if it hit him flush in the stomach, I don't think he would have played next week. Harry hit that so hard.
Would he almost have chucked a Mark Milligan where it would have hit him in the crotch? That happened about 4 times the other week, didn't it, Supernova?
And rightly so for Mark Milligan being at Melbourne Victory as well.
All right, Perth Glory, they keep winning. 2-0 win over Adelaide. Adelaide, not too many people turned out down there, and great to see Perth Glory getting another win.
Yes, it always is. Perth Glory are doing quite well this season. They've done okay pre-season leading up to the launch of the A-League, but they've got along slowly. I'm still not convinced by Ian Ferguson. I don't think he's the right man for that job. I've said that all year.
Mm.
But the things at the club are starting to move slowly. And Cosmina, his reign, maybe it's over at Adelaide. He's had his turn. He's had his buzz. But maybe that glossy shine is gone.
It's time maybe for him to go back to school and get the requisite qualifications.
I believe he is getting some sort of qualifications. Rochek, your thoughts on Ferguson?
For me, he's a cut above the Cosmina crowd, but still not that far above. He's not up there with the Gary Van Egmonds and certainly the Litbarskis and the Levichkas.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Well, what does a coach have to do? Are they third? They're sitting in third place on 37 points.
Yep.
They're only 5 points off second. They're doing very well this season. And sure, that's probably largely due to Smeltzy and Miller. But
And Billy.
They were brought in by Ferguson.
Yes, that is true. I'm just not convinced at the big moments that Ferguson really, really hits his straps. They've got a great squad, and it will be tough to cover for Milos Sadjovsky, who's off to China. But when you have Schmelz on your side, you're guaranteed probably 15 goals. That's incredible. That's a really big head start.
And that's a whole other can of worms that you open up with players headed overseas and what impact that'll have on their season. We saw it with Matt Ryan. We won't go into that, I think, on today's episode. We will briefly talk about Brisbane Roar playing out a 1-1 draw with Melbourne Heart. Brisbane Roar, they're challenging for top spot. Or in my eyes, will win the grand final, but perhaps not the premiership.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it was a big opportunity with Brisbane Roar having drawn 1-1 for Central Coast to really put their stamp on proceedings this year. But they got the 1 point, which was an excellent thing for Central Coast. But there was a big opportunity there for clubs like Sydney and Melbourne, but they failed to take it. And Newcastle and Perth really prospered this week.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Issy Nakajima Faran, because his contract's up. He's not going to be playing in the Champions League. He's already found that out. What are your thoughts on his influence so far in Brisbane Roar's squad? Because he's not been really given as much of an opportunity as he probably deserves. It's the same story as Solorzano at Melbourne Victory.
Yeah.
They deserve the chance, but they just don't get it with the clubs that they're at.
Look, I think Solorzano's proved himself over an A-League season that he's a talent. And he came on against Newcastle, and there was a cross put over to him where it was bending behind him, and he got in the road and kept a header down on goal, and there's not a lot of strikers who can do that in the under A-League. It was an incredible piece of skill. Just not so convinced about Issy Nakajima Faran. He comes with a lot in the marketing sense. He's quite a handsome man.
Is he?
Yeah, he sure is. Is he Nakajima Faran? he doesn't have that all-round kind of impact that I think he was supposed to have as a Canadian international.
Right. And just on that, Melbourne Heart, they're one of the couple teams, along with the Jets, that are on that 34 points, not quite safe in the finals. They could be in, could be out. They're playing good football, so they deserve to be in the top six, but not a certainty. Let's talk about the Footy Fans Down Under, Rochek. Mm. We're nominated for an award, aren't we?
Yep. We're actually at the moment the carryover champs in that particular domain, being the single best podcast in the whole of Australia with a football slant.
Say what you'd like about that 4-4-2 in the world game. We beat you.
That's right.
You may get more people listening to the show, but more people voted for us that they liked this show.
We won. That's all that matters.
That's right.
2 years in a row, bring it on, guys.
And I think in terms of really pushing the message that we're trying to get out there about us being number one, do we have the video that we've put together? We've got some audio here, and it really is a bit of a community service announcement, if nothing else.
Here at the Football Sack, we love kittens, but we also love to win awards. We've decided to temporarily give up our love for kittens in the hope of winning some categories in the Footy Fans Down Under Awards. What does this mean for you? Well, every time you don't vote for the Football Sack, we'll kill a kitten. That's right, we'll terminate the life of one kitten. Think of it this way. Each time you vote for the Football Sack, what you're actually doing is saving a kitten from a horrible death. So vote for the Football Sack at the Footy Fans Down Under Awards. The Football Sack, saving kittens.
That's right, we're saving kittens here at thefootballsack.com. So if you'd like to vote for us for the Football Sack podcast, this is The Sack on Sunday, you can vote for us at footyfansdownunder.net. That's FFDU.net. Jump on that.
There are plenty of other people who are up for awards, such as Mel Janjowski. She's up for Writer of the Year. We've got the Football Sack up for Website of the Year as well. Somehow, I managed to get on as Twitter Personality of the Year.
You are a personality, mate.
Thank you.
Maybe you should have broken up with your girlfriend via Twitter. That would have been very personable. look, if you'd like to vote for any of the Football Sack contestants, jump on FFDU.net. Last week we had a bit of a segment called The Rub of Peter Green.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to carry that over. Peter Green obviously being a referee in the Hyundai A-League, but he's not playing this week. He didn't referee any games.
Okay.
So he ruined my segment. So I'm going to bring that in.
We didn't get the rub of Peter Green.
No. So no one got the opportunity to have the rub of Peter Green.
That's right. But look, let's put the spotlight on Peter Green. He's made some clanging decisions, especially last week. And this is where this segment started.
Yeah.
And in future weeks, we predict, especially as the games become more and more crucial, that sides will not get the rub of Peter Green, and other sides will, in fact, get the rub of Peter Green.
If you see someone getting the rub of Peter Green, we'd love you to let us know. info@thefootballsack.com. And that leads me perfectly into some listener emails that we'd like to answer. We're referring to last week, so if you haven't listened to the show already, jump online and listen to it. It's episode 91, Freedom of Speech. Supernova, you came in and talked about your Western Sydney perfect home ground, and you said that that was Lily Home Stadium.
Yeah. Out in Blacktown, yep.
Someone has contacted me by the name of Jonathan, and he said that capacity, it's only 7,500. It's not really enough. The bigger problem, not enough parking. He said that, although that said that there is not enough parking, you can travel from Seven Hills Railway Station pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly. And there's buses just across the road, so it's not
but
that far.
Parking's an issue.
Yep.
One of the better things about Lily Holmes, although he disagrees with you and says that capacity is too low, he said there's great pizza there.
That is true.
The Lily Holmes restaurant. Awesome. So what he's offered the football sack, he says, next time you guys come out to watch a New South Wales Premier League game at Lily's, let me know. I will buy you pizza.
No way!
Jonathan, yes. Who is an architect, he's offered to buy us pizza. He's architecting our happiness, is what he's doing.
That's right.
So we will take you up on that offer, Jonathan, next time we are at Lily Holmes.
Thank you for that, Johnny.
Look, the next person to have emailed in is someone who we've had on the Beyond the 90 radio show that we've done, and who has given us free tickets to a Celtic match of last year.
He's responsible for bringing out LA Galaxy the last couple of times that the club's come out. He's basically one of the guys who helps run football in this country. He's one of those faceless men.
And that is Lou Sticker. He is with Tribal Sports Management. He sent us a email condemning Palmer. He said, agents condemn Palmer was the title of the email. And it's basically a media release that saying that the Australian Football Agents Association wishes to condemn the negative and uninformed reference to agents in Clive Palmer's attack on FFA and his comments on football in general. So thank you.
You're just playing that whenever you feel like
that. Whenever you feel like that. I gave you free will on that. I should have.
Take away his microphone. Just do it. Take it away. But yeah. isn't it crazy? It's crazy how much when Clive Palmer gets on a microphone, a la Pete Novakovsky, the amount of people who have to come out and make statements clarifying what he said or condemning it.
Yeah.
He gets up and he just speaks. And he doesn't really know what's about to come out. He could talk about Syria, human rights, World War II, you know, oppression and freedom of speech. And all of these people have to come out and say, we don't offer bribes to players. We don't do this. We don't do that. It is verging on the ridiculous. And I don't like to see it.
The final email we had was from Jordan. And Jordan has messaged in saying that he was listening to episode 91, Freedom of Speech. And we were talking about the membership idea that memberships to state league clubs should also contain memberships to your local A-League club and reciprocated. So if you are a member of Sydney FC, you're also a member of your local association club. Whether that gets you tickets or not, it was yet to be. I don't think we
No, we decided. Didn't really solve that issue, but we brought up the idea anyway. What did our friend have to say?
Well, he's actually written a short list of options for the A-League /FFA in regards to these memberships. He's had similar ideas, and he's put those ideas to paper, and he submitted them to the FFA.
Excellent. Well, I think a lot of our listeners who have excellent ideas on Twitter and constantly throw them around should put them through the official channels and see what comes up.
No, we are a football community, and I'm sure they will take your ideas on board. Hmm. They did actually get back to Jordan about his correspondence. So Lyle Gorman and Ben Buckley got a... Yeah, they did respond. He was a bit disappointed with the response, but they did respond to his ideas that have a bit of merit, I think.
What we are talking about here, giving fans a voice. Now, this is something that footy fans down under are trying to promote. It's a topic whereby it's Football Fans Unite. If you're on Twitter, use that hashtag, Football Fans Unite. Trying to bring together all footballing supporters, all footballing lovers together and trying to create a single voice. So that way, when we come up against guys like the FFA, we can try and work together rather than working as separate entities.
Yeah.
And we're also giving you a voice here at thefootballsack.com. So if you'd like to email us in, info@thefootballsack.com, or you can go to the contact tab on our website. Supernova, we've got a competition running, and it has ran its course, and we have one final winner for our Facebook competition for Tom Meets Zizou.
The competition is...
over, is what it is.
The competition is over. It's finished. The competition is, in fact, over. We were trying to give away, we were giving away 4 signed copies of Tom Meets Zizou, a documentary which I've watched probably about 40 times now. But our winner of our 4th and final copy of Tom Meets Zizou was Mr. Patrick Barnes, who is a good friend of the Football Sack. He is based over in Wellington, so if you are part of the Yellow Fever, you've probably seen him around. So kudos to you, Mr. Patrick Barnes.
And you can now borrow that copy of Tom Meets Zizou from Patrick when he eventually gets it.
No, they should buy it. They should definitely buy it
via the Brisbane Roar online store. But I'm sure that Patrick will offer a DVD rental service over in Wellington.
I just thought Patrick might have, you know, spread the love over there in Wellington. Wellington Fever. I don't know. What are they all about?
I think we need to celebrate this moment. It's the first time we've talked about New Zealand without playing a certain sound effect. And I think that really that's an important step forward for us.
Yeah. The reason we don't talk about it is because we don't have many listeners from over in New Zealand.
Now we have one.
People know about the footballsack.com podcast, The Sack on Sunday. We've now given you a copy of Tom Meets Zizou, so basically you owe us.
And if the Yellow Fever show us in some sort of way on television that they listen to the Football Sack podcast, we will, from this point forth, refuse to play any sheep sound effect. I think that's a good step forward, and really for Australia-New Zealand relations in general.
Great. So here at the Football Sack, we love giving out prizes, and that was the final week of the Tom Meets Zizou competition. So congrats to you. Pete Novikovsky, can we have a final update on your breakup via text message? I don't know if I condone what you've done here by bringing this onto the show, but I'm interested. It intrigues me.
It's reality podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What's the update?
The update is it's over. Which basically means I'm single. So if you would like to go out with me, info@thefootballsack.com. Send us an email or find us on Twitter.
Can I just quickly say that sound effect comes from the Special Victims Unit. I don't know if that's the right sound effect, my friend.
Not appropriate.
For real, Pete Novikovsky is a single man. I know there's a lot of ladies on the Twitter sphere who'd really be keen to hit that up.
I think one of the main things you have to be, if you are a girlfriend of Supernova, is you've got to like Thomas Broich.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. If you like Thomas Broich, you will be in Supernova's good books. We all like Thomas Broich because we like the Hyundai A-League. And if you like the Hyundai A-League, you should subscribe to our podcast. And to do that, you jump on iTunes, click the subscribe button. That means you get every podcast downloaded automatically. And how good is that, Rocek?
It is incredible. And you can listen to us all the time without having to lift a finger.
Yeah, go back and download heaps of episodes and have a bit of a Football Sack marathon. Supernova, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing us your relationship.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Or lack thereof now.
Or lack thereof now, yeah.
Rocek, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your valuable insights.
Always good. Thank you for having me.
That is all we've got time for. My name's Ben Mac Greenlaw. I am the editor of thefootballsack.com.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.